Okay, so I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic grammar school as well as high school. I remember being taught about Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, but I never truly understood the significance of his suffering and dying for us. I also don't recall being taught to accept Jesus as my own personal Lord and Savior. As I got older, throughout high school and college years, I would go to church on special occasions. But the one thing my mom always taught me was to pray, especially before bed, so it was something I always tried to do. But over all these years, I had never read the Bible. It was just, you know, whatever I heard at church. But even then, I would be bored and not pay attention. So fast forward to 2020 during the pandemic, I began to get into the new age practice, trying to manifest what I wanted and being my own God. But the thing is, I didn't realize I was opening spiritual doors that I didn't even know existed. Terrifying things began to happen. But even during all this, I would still try to pray. Then on one particular day, my husband gets called in for overtime. He's a firefighter, so he works 24 hours. And I am someone who suffered from severe anxiety of sleeping by myself. I hated sleeping by myself. And I would be so afraid. And this one night, I called out to God, and I said, God, why am I so afraid? Why am I always so afraid? I'm so tired of this. And on this night, when I fell asleep, I was woken up in the middle of the night, and the number 27 comes to my head. And 27 keeps replaying in my head. And I'm like, what's 27? So I go back to bed, and the next morning, the number 27 comes to my head. And I Googled the number 27, and what I found didn't make sense. But something told me, look up the number 27 in the Bible. So Psalm 27 comes up, and as I begin to read it, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I didn't think anything of this. I was like, what? Okay. So I, you know, that same night, I go to bed. And that night I was woken up and I had the names Isaiah and Jacob repeat on my head. And I wake up the next morning and again, I'm remembered of the name Isaiah and Jacob. And I look it up because I say, who is Isaiah and Jacob? I don't know anybody named Isaiah and Jacob. And they're in the Bible. Isaiah and Jacob are prophets in the Bible. Again, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay. The following night, I go to sleep and I'm woken up to the names Jeremiah and Elijah, again on repeat in my head. I go to sleep, I wake up, I Google it. Again, they're prophets in the Bible. I'm like, what is going on here? I still didn't think anything of it, right? You'd think I would get it by now. But then the final night, I go to sleep and I'm woken up to the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. Now I knew the Ten Commandments because you're taught them in Catholic school. When I woke up and I remember the Ten Commandments, I knew that was God talking to me. And I said, okay, God, I think I'll get a Bible now. So I purchased the Bible. I began to read for 30 to 40 minutes a day because I wanted to know all about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and everything that was in the Bible. I just needed to know more. The Holy Spirit has changed me ever since. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I turned away from my old ways of living and from the new age. The road is very narrow and very difficult at times, but I'm walking this out with my Lord, who is my guide, my peace, my joy, my ever-present help in trouble. He is my everything and all I need.
Before I came to Christ, I was divorced and remarried with two families. I was a successful doctor of chiropractic in Totowa. I had an excellent reputation. I helped many people. I made and spent a lot of money and had a very busy practice. I also was a teacher of a New Age philosophy. I taught seminars in my office for over 30 years with an average of 25 people in attendance. I also taught all over the country and had a weekly study group. This philosophy taught that there's a power behind everything. They said science calls it energy, theology called it God, but this concept therapy called the power the X, because it was the symbol of the unknown. So essentially, I taught that when you get in tune with this power, you become one with it. So in a sense, you're a God. I also lived a double life. I had a void I couldn't fill. I used to be a power lifter and built up my body, and I used to drink a lot of wine. I drank 2 bottles a night, and I was a real womanizer. I had countless affairs and was a bad gambler. In fact, in my first marriage, one of the affairs, I murdered a child. I paid for my girlfriend to have an abortion. Now, between my 2 marriages, I fathered 2 children out of wedlock. And I, just to show you what a deprived mind I had, I tried to convince each girl to have an abortion. I was without morals. I was controlled by lust, greed, and pride. And then in 2013, I had a humbling experience. I had a stroke, which left me with a problem with my speech, my thinking, and weakness on my right side. These disabilities affected my practice. The busy practice I once had went down to nothing. I eventually had to close the practice, and the Lord taught me humility, because I went to work for another doctor. But I always had in the back of my mind, why did this happen to me? I was a chiropractor, after all. I practiced natural health. I ate right. I took all my vitamins. And I wasn't supposed to get sick. I got adjusted all the time. And the New Age philosophy gave me no answers. In fact, the New Age philosophy abandoned me because I couldn't teach anymore. So I kept looking for answers. The doctor I happened to work for was a Scientologist. So I studied it for 6 months. I got audited, but I got no answers, so I left it. So my conversion was a slow process. I was raised Catholic, even though I wasn't practicing Catholicism. My landlord invited me to his church, and I was apprehensive about attending. I went to it, and after 3 months, I decided to get baptized in the church. So I did get baptized there, but really they didn't explain anything about baptism, and there was no explanation of redemption. And so I met a girl right after I got baptized, and we moved in together. That just shows you how much I changed my life. I was living in sin. And I started developing severe chest pains at the time. And I went to a cardiologist, and they did a stress test on me, and they found that I needed a stent put in my arteries. And the doctor told me all my small arteries were all clogged already. And he couldn't put a stent in there. The only thing he could do was give me nitroglycerin and hope for the best. So I decided to retire, and we went down to South Carolina, and we joined a Christian church, and I lied to the pastor there and to all the members of the church. I told them we were married, and I was also baptized in that church. Once again, I wasn't taught about redemption. I was living in sin. My relationship with the girl ended when I went home to New Jersey and she gave me a Dear John letter. I didn't have enough money to pay for my belongings to be shipped up, so I had to leave them down in South Carolina. So I had nothing. My sister agreed to take me in, and I spent 5 months with her. And I ended up in Spring Hills. And still there was this void. I joined Marianne's Bible reading, and she asked if I went to church. And I said, I attend an online services for a church in Toto I joined called Emergence. And she invited me to Bread of Life. And it was the first time I heard of redemption and asking Jesus to forgive me of my sin and then turn away from the sin and to renew my mind daily with reading scripture. I still remember one Sunday in the beginning of going to church, Marianne and Steve dropped me off at home at Spring Hills, and I immediately walked to the liquor store to buy a thing of booze. I wasn't committed then yet, but then I committed my life to Jesus. He became my personal savior. I developed a personal relationship with him. And all of a sudden, I had no desire to drink anymore. I haven't drank any hard liquor since. And my urge to gambling has gone away, and also the lustful feelings I had went away. Praise Jesus that I had my knees replaced, and I had to get therapy there. And the therapist said to me, if it wasn't in my medical report, she would never know I had a stroke. So that was very good news. And and I had to also not an echocardiogram, a stress test, another stress test again. They had to see if my heart was all right for the surgery. And the doctor said, he did this stress test, and he said there was no evidence of any blockages at all. All the little blockages had cleared up. It's a miracle. So all I can say is I was blind, but now I can see.
Questions? Pastor Brian. All right, Daniela, I'll ask you three questions. Do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for our sister. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your amazing work of grace that you have done in our sister Daniela. We thank you, Lord, that indeed you have transferred her from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you, Holy Father, that you have brought her into our midst, Lord, where she can grow and understand in her faith and, Lord, mature, and that she could be a blessing to us and we could be a blessing to her. Oh, we thank you, Father, for her family. We thank you for everyone, for Mark and for the boys and for her the family that's here represented, and pray your blessing on their lives, Heavenly Father, that they too would know the joy of your salvation. We pray, Lord, that as she has committed her life to serving and following Christ, that by your grace you will keep her, Lord, that forever she may be with the Lord. Oh, Father, we pray your hand of protection about her. When things are hard, when things are tough, Lord, when storms come her way, May she cling to that anchor who is Christ Jesus. May you be her shepherd. May you be her friend. May you be her keeper, Lord, every day of her life. And may you use her as an influence for good in the lives of her family. And for your name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Based upon your profession of faith, I want to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You may go back.
Michael, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you are saved?
Yes, I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Yes, I will.
Amen.
Amen. As our brother was sharing his testimony, it connected with what we heard read earlier in Psalm 38. So I just want to read that again. In Psalm 38, it says, "Your arrows have sunk deep into me." Mm-hmm. The psalmist is recognizing his sin, and he's confessing his sin. And repenting. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. I am bent over and greatly bowed down. I go mourning all day long. For my loins are filling with burning and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am benumbed and badly crushed. I groan because of the agitation of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails, and the light of my eyes even have gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, my kinsmen afar off. Those who seek my life lay snares for me, and those who seek to injure me have threatened destruction. Let's pray for our brother. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work of grace in our brother's life. That just as a psalmist millennia ago confessed his sin and recognized even that the very affliction of his body was the result of the consequence of the folly of his former life, Lord, you've opened up our brother's eyes. Lord, I think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. It is good that I would have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And, oh God, you have been faithful to our brother, Lord. That even while he dabbled around in religious experiences, Lord God, you kept him. Lord, you kept him from falling, Father. We thank you for your grace. We pray, oh God, that you would protect him further, Lord, until the day that he goes and opens those spiritual eyes and on the other side, Lord, and sees you.
Yes.
We ask you, Father, that you would protect and keep him unto the day of glory.
Amen.
Please, Father, keep your hand upon him, bless him and keep him, and cause your face to shine upon him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right, Michael, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Right!
Yes! Yes.